I think some women misunderstand the signals because it can be physically intimidating for some women to be around a lot of guys. That just never intimidated me. So, and I find them very humorous. And I'm also not shy about speaking up when I need to. I think that's the key.
You're listening to Wealthy Advisor Mindset Podcast, a show dedicated to helping financial advisors grow their AUM while enjoying a great quality of life by creating a high performance mindset. Guiding you on this podcast is none other than Nina Cook, a seasoned mindset coach who has worked with hundreds of business owners over the last decade to dissolve all their self-sabotaging behaviors and habits to achieve their business goals so they can have a much bigger impact and make much more money. Throughout the show, we'll deliver actionable strategies to grow your practice more easily and quickly, while revealing the incredible possibilities that emerge when you tap into your best self. Ready for a breakthrough that amplifies your impact and profits? Let's dive in.
Hi, Janine. It's such a pleasure to have you on this show. I'm so excited to interview you. But before we do that, let me just tell the audience a little bit about you. Janine Theus spent 21 years as a naval intelligence officer. She's the mother of four. She's a swim coach and a former triathlete. She came into financial services business later in life. She started out as a rep for Guardian Life. And after a few years, she decided to go completely independent. She started her own firm in 2014, and now her younger daughter is coming into the business. Janine, you are the first female financial advisor I'm interviewing for this show, and I'm so excited to do this with you.
Oh, this is great. This is great. Thank you for inviting me. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think so too. So you've had a very, very varied past. You've done a lot of things. Just talk us a little bit through the highlights of what you've done and how it's prepared you to become a very successful financial advisor.
Well, I think as most people realize, the financial advisory industry is largely male because men are the ones that are most interested in this type of thing. Although there's been an influx of women, I think, in the last 10 to 15 years, more of an influx. But it has predominantly been men that do the investing. In fact, if you look at the statistics, 85% of women make purchasing decisions, but very few make investing decisions overall. So my background, I'm the only daughter. My parents had six boys, and they took in another eight young men at various times. So that prepared me to be in the situation that I was in the Navy. I was the only female. I was one of the first females to deploy with an active anti-submarine warfare squadron. So I was the only female with 250 guys. I was one of three line officers on the entire base. So you develop thick skin pretty quickly, although I think I already had that when I got there. So, being in the financial services industry is somewhat similar in that you have to deal with a lot of different personalities, some very strong. There is a lot of ego, and you have to understand that men are just different and not take offense where none is meant and develop a good sense of humor.
Absolutely. So all of that stood you in great stead in a largely male-dominated world.
Right.
In terms of how you said you don't take offense if nothing's intended, how do you navigate all of that and, you know, stand in your space and, you know, because it sounds as if you've done, we've had a chat about this before, it sounds as if you've done this very elegantly. That you've managed to, just give back as good as you get, make a joke out of it, have a laugh about it. And it doesn't stop you. It hasn't lowered your confidence in any way from what I can ascertain, having spoken to you about this.
Well, I think it helps. It has helped in the past to be athletic. I mean, growing up with a bunch of guys who are very manly men, athletic, you do learn to hold your own. And it did help that I could outrun because I ran track and cross country in college and I've been a swimmer and like I said, you mentioned, a triathlete. I'm a recovering triathlete, but it helps to be athletic because that is respected. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to be the brunt of, you know, jibs and jabs. But if you can give as well as get and not take offense, because men in the man's world, they tend to beat on each other a lot. And observing that, I always found it very humorous. I laughed every day in the squadron. Doesn't mean there weren't some trials, but they give and, you know, get at each other constantly. So I was not special in that regard. So I just learned to roll with the punches. And I think it's the same in surgery. If you're a doctor or, you know, in the financial world, you're going to run into egos. There are women with egos. So you have to deal with those types of personalities. And I think it does help to realize that you do have a voice and you need to occasionally speak up.
Absolutely.
And not, you know, and not be put in the corner or not feel like you have to be put in the corner. I think some women misunderstand the signals. Because it can be physically intimidating for some women to be around a lot of guys. That just never intimidated me. So, and I find them very humorous. And I'm also not shy about speaking up when I need to. I think that's the key. But, you do have to be careful that you're not taking offense where none is meant. So understanding that guys just have a different sense of humor is important.
So what would you say to female financial advisors who may be in a conference and, you know, there's mainly men in the conference and they feel that they can't speak up or they don't have anything of value to add to the conversation? What would you say to them?
I tend to ask a lot of questions. Tell me more about that. Tell me, why do you think that way? You know, trying to understand, you know, the conclusions that a lot of men come to. Why do you think, what's your experience? Tell me. And it's really interesting because some people really genuinely do want to share. And others, you can see the force field go up and they're taking that as a challenge. So you have to get good at discerning what type of personality you're dealing with. And after asking a lot of questions, I engage in conversation. I mean, I've been challenged by some guys and I go, well, so tell me where I'm wrong. I'm not afraid to admit that I could be wrong. I think that's a big thing because there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody is wrong at some point in time on a particular topic. So you have to be more confident about standing your ground if you think you have the right answer. I mean, at conferences, it's a lot of times just listening to the banter, you know, that goes back and forth. And I just join in occasionally. So, but I think for a lot of women, if you're in a mostly male environment and you're not used to that, it can be very intimidating. I had an assistant that had no brothers, but only sisters. And she didn't, just by the things that she would say, she didn't understand guys at all. She would complain a lot about her husband and her son. And I finally said, that's just men. You have to let them be men. So, that's a tough one for a lot of women.
Yeah. It can take a lot of getting used to. In terms of your jump from, you know, working for a company to becoming an independent financial advisor, you know, becoming a business owner, what role did your mindset play in making that jump? Was that an easy transition for you? Was it something that you struggled with? What were your fears along the way? How did you deal with that?
Well, that's a great question because I think the fear of, and I've talked to many people, including some men, that were afraid of going independent or were afraid to make this jump. And I think there's a mindset that says, I'm tired of this. I want to move to over here. And you just have to be willing to move. And there are a lot of unknowns. There was a lot of help out there now. But at the time, it was a little scary that I was going to go do this, and I just had to figure it out. So if I fall down, I'm going to get back up. And that's really the key. I mean, there's a lot of fear that people put on themselves because they're not sure how they're going to react. Well, when you were a child learning, or you're learning a new skill, you're going to fail. And then you have to get back up. And that's really the key. So I did have a gentleman tell me one time he was really afraid to do something. And I just looked at him and he was learning a software piece. And I said, my friend, nobody's shooting at you. Figure it out and move forward. And I think that's really the mindset you have to take is perspective. What's really scary, or what's really valid in terms of being scary? In this industry, nobody's shooting at you. We're not walking into a landmine. Just get out there and do it. There's a lot of help available, and you just have to go through with it. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't things that, you know, we all deal with that are fear. Like you deal with this a lot, where people get in their own heads and it stops them from going to the next level or doing something they want to do.
So is that how you deal with it? You think, well, actually, no, you know, my life isn't in danger. This isn't such a big deal. I can do this. I can get over this. Is that how you deal with it? Or do you have some other strategies as well that help you, you know, when things are difficult and you're not getting the results that you want?
I think, and I've just had a big change happen. So it's at first you're really upset about something that happens. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to take care of it, or I'm just going to deal with it. That's just me. I'm just like, just get on with it, stop complaining, and just make things happen. It doesn't mean they're going to be perfect. And I think that's where a lot of people get in their own way, because it has to be perfect before they move. I have to set some things up, and then I'm going to make some moves. But that's just how I deal with it. Again, this is not life-threatening. I can move forward and do some things. And I think that's the biggest fear. Fear of failure is probably the biggest thing that holds people back. And at some point, you just have to decide that you're the boss of yourself and you're going to get it done.
One way or another.
Right.
So you must have come across many independent financial advisors, seen some who get stuck, others who are thriving. What do you see as, you know, one of the big differences between the ones who are stuck, maybe they're stagnating, and others who really seem to be pushing ahead?
I think, and it is really interesting, because for some people, they get to a certain level and that's enough for them. And they're comfortable there. And that's completely fine. You know, what is your real goal? I mean, is it to break 100 million in assets? Is it to go bigger than that? I think I know a young advisor who has absolutely exploded in an unprecedented way. I don't think that was intentional. It was something that just came together. And then he did a great job with focusing on some things, and he target marketed and he literally exploded. Now he's got other things he's got to deal with, but a lot of people, it's a comfort level. Like, I don't want to get too big because I don't want to have to deal with all the issues of being too big. Or I don't want, like, some people just want a lifestyle practice. So they'll get so big, they'll maintain those clients, go out for a few more, and that's fine. And then other people want a much bigger business entity, if you will. They want more people in the business. They want to do more.
It's the size of the vision, isn't it? And the size of the vision isn't something that is sometimes intentionally set. The size of the vision can just come from small thinking, because that's your expectation of life. And that's all you think you can manage. So it's the people who I think who have the big dreams, who intentionally say, this is what I want. And the people who have smaller dreams, and that there's no right or wrong. It's not like one is right and the other is wrong. I find the ones who have smaller dreams, they almost have them by default. It's by watching people around them in their environment, people they grew up with, their conditioned thinking. And they don't realize sometimes that there's another way of thinking available to them, which they haven't explored yet. And that could just open up a huge number of opportunities.
Right. And like, again, it goes back to, and it might not even be a mindset. It might just be that I want X. I talked to a gentleman who does not have a large practice. He's done that intentionally. He loves, loves, loves to coach football. And he wanted more time to coach football and enough of a practice that gave him the lifestyle he wanted. Who says he's wrong? He's happy.
Nothing wrong with that. It's the ones who want more but can't seem to get ahead. So those are the ones who just stay stuck in a place and they try lots of different things and nothing seems to be moving for them. It's you know, because mindset isn't something that's really talked about much in the financial advisory world. It's something that seems to be just, you know, well, that's not going to make the difference. What makes the difference is, you know, getting the right Facebook ads going or finding the right marketing team, et cetera.
Well, in the type of clients that you deal with, you know, I've had enough experience in life to realize that the people who we used to consider as experts are not always experts, or they might, you know, they know a lot about, if you have a tiled wall, they know a lot about these two tiles on the wall, and it doesn't translate necessarily to all the other tiles. And so you're dealing with those people who might be really good in their field, who think that it might translate to the financial world, and it doesn't always do that. So you have to learn to get comfortable dealing with those people who, like doctors or dentists or, you know, part of the professional class. That's intimidating for some people. And so you have to get over being hesitant or not appeal to, but afraid to confront, really, some belief systems of that group of people. And that can be really intimidating for people.
Are you frustrated with your inability to take the next steps to grow your practice and worry that your same old tired strategies don't seem to work any longer? If this is you, then listen up. Nina has spent the last 2 decades coaching financial advisors and has cracked the code to growing AUMs, hitting bigger profits in your business, and achieving a higher quality of life. You can now get access to those secrets in her game-changing book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. In the book, Nina will share her proven process for success to take you from chasing clients to attracting high-paying ones by creating a success-driven mindset. So, if you're struggling with stagnation, then this could give you the breakthrough you've been searching for. This is different to anything you may have come across before. For being an awesome listener to this podcast, our team would like to gift you a free copy of the book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. You can get your free copy at ninabook.org. You only have to pay for shipping and handling. Once again, the link to get a free copy of this book is ninabook.org. The link is also in the description. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to grow your AUM and stop hustling for your next client. Now, back to the show.
What was your mindset growing up? I mean, you know, we have lots of conditioned thinking around us, which we absorb as children. So what was your mindset in terms of, you know, being able to have what you want, or where did you feel that, you know, things were going to be limited for you? What was your outlook on life?
You know, that's an interesting question, because a lot of us back in the day, there was never any money. My parents had all these kids. My dad was enlisted Air Force, and then he retired at the age of 39 and a half.
Wow.
Of course, he couldn't retire, but, you know, at 39 and a half, he had 6 kids. So he ended up starting his own business. He got out of the service, went and worked. And that, there was a lot of things that influenced my thinking about what happened to my dad in the Air Force, how my mother reacted to a lot of things. I mean, she was a dynamo, and she was not a girly girl, but she was a force to be reckoned with in many ways. So it was, I'm thinking, doesn't matter if you don't have money, just go and do and figure it out. And we knew as kids, it was just an unspoken thing. You couldn't ask mom and dad for money because it wasn't there. So you had to go become resilient and self-reliant. So it doesn't mean we got everything right, but we're all successful because of that. And then the people that they brought in and helped are also successful. So it's really about trying to figure out where you want to go and just go and do it. And I think that was pretty much how we were all. I don't know that was spoken necessarily, other than, you know, I would get in some really interesting philosophical conversations with my dad. But it really generated, the self-confidence to just get out there and do it. I mean,
yeah.
I went to the Navy. Six of my brothers went to the Marines. So we have two Top Gun pilots, two artillery, two infantry. We just went and did. And so now our kids are doing whatever it is. It's just go and do. You just can't sit around and wait for things to come to you. I think that was the goal, the objective of their teaching, if you will.
That's amazing. And you had a very strong role model in your mother. And your daughters have a very strong role model in you, because you come across as pretty fearless to me. I don't know if that's how you see yourself, but it's like, you know, whatever's in the way, you'll deal with it. It's not going to stop you.
Well, and it's funny you should say that, because my younger daughter told me recently, she goes, you know, Mom, you're intimidating. I'm not trying to be
intimidating.
That's
different to fearless. That's a different thing to fearless.
Yeah, yeah. So I said, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just, you know, don't make excuses or take responsibility for the decisions you make and the position you take. I think we don't, in our culture today, we've lost some of that. And that's what makes people, it doesn't matter who it is. That's what makes people successful, regardless of how you define success. It's the people who take responsibility and move forward. Now, if I decide, you know, if I wimp out and say, okay, you know what, I've had enough, I'm just going to do this. Okay. You know, then that's on me. I can't blame anyone else for that. And I think that's really where we, as individuals, doesn't matter if you're male or female, that's where you have to be. You know, it doesn't mean we are not afraid of things. It just means we will meet them head on. Yeah. There might be some more effective ways to do that. That's where mindset training can help, helping people kind of work through those jinky situations.
And there can be a lot of fears, can't there? Even around getting clients, let alone working with clients. I know that you said, you know, your philosophy is get out and do it. That can instill fear in many financial advisors, independent ones, who have to go out and market for themselves and go and find clients. And I know many of them will just procrastinate on this most important part of their business, going out and filling their pipeline.
Absolutely. So when I went independent, I had to make a decision that how am I going to get clients? So my first two, I rented an office space in a university building, and I did adult continuing ed on retirement income planning. The first two sessions, they were 6-hour sessions. Was an absolute, like, shooting myself. It was a flesh wound. It wasn't that I couldn't speak in front of a group, but, you know, it was getting comfortable in presenting the material in a different way. And it literally was a flesh wound. And my husband just kind of looking at me, because I spent a lot of money at the time. And I said, this will work. This will work. So I went out. I contacted some friends and I said, hey, get me into the adult continuing ed at the community college. This guy made an introduction. And the next thing I knew, I was teaching in their curriculum. I still had to market it, send out flyers. That's how we got. And literally in about 4 years, I built a lot of my business.
Wow.
Because I went and did that. So I had to overcome my own fears about doing that, you know, take a flesh wound and get back up.
and figure out a way to make it work. If it doesn't work one way, it doesn't mean that you just stop doing it and think, well, I'm no good at this, I can't do this, and try and find something else. It's like, well, why didn't it work? What can I do to improve? Who can I ask for help with this? And, you know, get back out there and do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this could stop so many people in their tracks, because they think, well, I can't do this. You know, I'm not any good at doing this. And then they beat themselves up. They lose confidence. It takes them a while to get back up on their feet again. So all of this is wasted time, isn't it? And obviously, you're not getting clients at that time. You're licking your wounds.
Right. And so I had to figure out, okay, what did I do? What did I do? It's not that you do things wrong. It's what can I do better? And, you know, how do I present better? What language am I using? Because in the Navy, I had to brief admirals and fighter pilots and other pilots, and you better have your stuff squared away or you're going to get eaten alive. So it's a different way of presenting information than if you're teaching and you're trying to have inviting language for people to want to work with you. What was really interesting is after a couple of my classes, so this was like the next go around, I had people come up to me after the class and said, "We want to work with you because you come across as very trustworthy. I can trust you." I'm like, okay, so that I was just being my genuine self, telling the truth, and that connected with folks. I think that always connects. And, you know, to be your genuine self. In this industry, there's a lot of salesy things, and I've never liked those. I came into the industry because actually one of my brothers, who did not go to the military, became an advisor very young. And he said to me when I was between, you know, gigs, if you will, he said, you should come into this business because you care about people and there aren't enough people doing it right. So I thought, okay, there's a challenge. But also I remember going to an advisor that my husband and I had, and he was talking up here in generalities about the economy, the market, and everything. And I remember sitting in the chair going, okay, I'm pretty smart. And what does any of that have to do with me or us? And I think that's the problem with this industry, is a lot of people talk over the heads of the client, and because for whatever reason, and it doesn't really connect. So I was looking for a holistic advisor. So I decided to come into the business to be what I couldn't find.
That's brilliant. Absolutely. And you plugged that gap, and you know, you're very successful. So people are looking for this type of thing, because sometimes it's so easy to talk and not listen, but right. You don't build trust just by talking up there. People want to really connect. It's all about relationships at the end of the day. It may feel like there's a transaction here, but people want to like working with the people that they want to work with. And there has to be some chemistry, some rapport.
Right. And you're exactly right. In coaching swimming, when your water is a foreign medium for most people, so is investing in financial decisions. And as a coach for swimming, I have to know what your goal is. Do you want to just make it across the pool? Do you just want to be comfortable in water? Do you want to swim a race? Do you want to do open water swimming? So I have to take the person from where they are to where they want to go. It's the similar situation with finance, with dealing in financial services, because husbands and wives are not always on the same page. So, you know, he's going this way, or he's more aggressive and she's holding back, allowing him to make the decision. So you have to take people from where they are, try to get them on the same page. And my husband accuses me of practicing without a license, because sometimes you're doing life coaching and psychology at the same time to help people get to where they are going to be comfortable and have clarity.
Yes. It's so important. It's exactly the same with every business owner. They have to have clear goals, because mm-hmm. if they don't, then they don't really know where they're going. And that just leads to lots of distractions, not staying on the track. And, you know, maybe 20, 30 years down the line thinking, I'm 30 years behind where I want to be.
That's right. And if you don't take the time to assess where you are and where you want to be, then you're constantly reacting to circumstances as you're going along, and you're not really on a path. And that's difficult for a lot of people, because if you're talking about retirement planning, people haven't been in retirement. They don't know what to expect. So, and they don't know how to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big change in that stage in life, isn't it? And when you are reacting to things, then it's very chaotic, which leads to a lot of stress. And you don't feel in control. Whereas if you have a goal and you have a path to that goal, you've cleared out all the mind blocks that can stop you getting to your goal, then it becomes much easier and more enjoyable. And we want to enjoy life, don't we? We don't want to be stressed out every single day.
Definitely. My son-in-law keeps asking me, well, don't you want to go do this? Don't you want to go do that? And I said, you know, I've done a lot of things already. I'm okay with just coming to see my grandkids. I don't need to travel the world.
Yes.
I have traveled quite a bit. I'm okay with just doing simple things at this point. And that's fine. It doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be, you know, some 5-star hotel. I don't really care. That's me. Other people want to do that. Great. Then the question is, how do you get there? So you can do that and not worry about spending the money or, you know, how is this going to impact my overall, you know, financial life?
Yeah, so. Because a plan has been put into place and it's all about planning and having a goal. So Janine, what would you say is the biggest lesson that life has taught you so far?
Well, we do make our own way based on the decisions we make, whether they're positive or negative. To not decide is to decide. And I think a lot of people have a fear of deciding. So I think I've had a lot of flesh wounds, which gives me, a dark sense of humor. But that's what I've learned is I've watched a lot of people. I've talked with a lot of people, you know, in different situations, circumstances. And we all struggle with something. And you have to make the decision to either overcome the struggle and become better from it or for it and move to the next level, whatever that level is. You can't sit in the corner and be a victim, because that will get you nowhere except bitterness and regret.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. What a great way to end. Thank you so much for being here. I've absolutely loved every moment with you. And for everyone who's been listening and watching, I hope you got a ton of value from this. Till next time.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Wealthy Advisor Mindset. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform to get notifications on upcoming episodes. If this episode made you think of someone who you think would benefit from listening to it, then go ahead, take a screenshot, and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends and colleagues. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links in the description. If you are a financial advisor who is struggling to grow your AUM and profits while creating a great work-life balance, and you know it's because your mindset is stopping you, or you have a specific challenge in mind that you would love Nina's feedback on, go to chatswithnina.org and grab a time that works best for you. We'd love to see if we can help you. Once again, it's chatswithnina.org. We will see you in the next episode.